Good morning. The first scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will say, they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. This ends the reading.
I hope you all had a great Christmas and a and a good New Year. We had a wonderful time out in Washington State. For the first time in 6 years, our whole family and all of Stacy's sisters and all of Stacy's sisters' husbands and all their kids were together. So Stacy's originally from that area, so it was great to get back out there. There were 10 cousins for our girls to be together, and Stacy has two sisters, and so it was a real celebration. And it was fun for me because I hadn't seen a couple of my brothers-in-law in a little while, and so we got to talking separately, and we each were kind of comparing, so how are we doing, because we're, all three of us kind of turned a magic number 2 or 3 years ago, right? And not so magic, apparently. And we were comparing, so how are you doing? Are you keeping in shape? Are you? And none of them were doing anything, and I'm not doing anything. So it was great to be with other people who were as undisciplined as I am, because you need to be able to not feel guilty when you're in that setting. So I felt great hanging out with them. And this will not come as a newsflash for those of you who know me, probably at all. I am not the most disciplined person, okay? If you're new and you had put me up on an ivory tower and thought I was one of the most disciplined people, feel free to leave now and then come back next week thinking I still am, but I'm not. I am not the most disciplined person, and it's one of my many obvious weaknesses. I spend too much time on my phone. I try to schedule runs and stay in shape continually, but I tend to break those schedules more than I actually stick to them. I try hard to be disciplined, and when I have to be disciplined, I am. Like when something has to get done, then I do. But if I have to choose, I normally, my default is to not be. The discipline, though, is required in all matters of life. It doesn't matter whether it's work or it's your marriage or whatever, or life in general. You have to be disciplined at your job or else things can slack off. How many of you remember about 6 months ago? There was about a span of about 3 months where I didn't write in the e-news. How many of you? Right? When you noticed that, and someone came and spoke to me about it, and it wasn't like anything was wrong, I just didn't feel like doing it. I was undisciplined, right? And y'all still kept me, which is great. Thank you for doing that. And it was just that matter of recognizing that if you're not disciplined, things are going to go by the wayside. The same is true also in your marriage. You need to be disciplined in your marriage. Being in a relationship with your best friend takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes work. It doesn't come naturally, and it absolutely takes discipline. If you think you can just kind of coast through your marriage, well, you should know better. It takes discipline to live a fulfilling life as well. You have to work at it and even do things that you don't want to do, because that's the way that you're able to fulfill and be fulfilled even more and be a better person in order for others to see that you are actually a child of God. So in all those areas of our life, in our life in general, in our marriage, in our work, the same is true also with our faith. It takes discipline, to have a kind of faith where you know, as we sang, that you are being held by the hand of God. It takes discipline to live out fully and completely the life of faith, the fullness of what God wants from us and the fullness of what God wants for us as well. It takes work. And what we're going to do today, which is the covenant renewal service, and there are a lot of folks I'm looking out there who have never done this before. We've done this since 2012, actually. So this is our 9th year together of doing the covenant renewal service, and I see a lot of deer in the headlights. So I'll explain it. But you do need to make sure you have one of these copies in front of you, because we're going to be getting to that in just a little bit. But this act of renewing our covenant before the Lord every single year, this act of discipline is meant to give you something tangible, something concrete that you can agree to, that you can actually sign and then take with you, so that you know and you can remind yourself, this year is going to be different. I'm going to take this year more seriously in my faith than I did last year. So let's go ahead and see how we can go ahead and do that. I want to look first at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. So let's go ahead and look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. So starting at verse 13 of chapter 1. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. If you're reading this from the Bible, you'll see after the word action, there's a little letter. And when there's a little letter in your Bible, it means you need to go down and look in the notes. And the notes say the following, literally, gird up the loins of your mind, okay? So that's what it means literally. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be yourself holy in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So both of these scriptures, the Jeremiah scripture and the 1 Peter scripture, these are classic scriptures that talk about the covenant that we have with God. So if you look at that paper that's inside your bulletin, it's called the Covenant Renewal Service. So we need to understand, what is this covenant that we have with God originally and before we're actually able to renew it? And in Jeremiah, we read about how in the Old Testament, before Jesus came along, our covenant with God was built upon our actions, was built upon our obedience. Really, the way in which our covenant was with God was built upon our discipline. The better disciplined we were, then the better relationship we had with God. In fact, if we were undisciplined, then we weren't going to have a relationship at all. That's the way it was in the old covenant. The more we did, then the more God actually loved us, the more God actually was in relationship with us. So that law was built upon our success, and it was built upon our ability to do certain things. Again, that's the Old Testament. If you look at verse 33 in Jeremiah 31, you'll see that inevitably, as the law was built upon us doing the right thing, that was bound to fail. And verse 33 says, yes, we failed. We broke the law. And he uses the image of a bride who is unfaithful to her groom, to her husband. And that's us. We were unfaithful and we broke the covenant more than we were able to keep it. And so as a result, if our relationship with God depended upon how good we are, how disciplined we are, and because we broke it, then our relationship was pretty much in tatters. But then Jeremiah goes on and says, the day is coming. While in the past it was built upon how disciplined we were, now the day is coming where that covenant will be written upon your hearts. No longer is it going to be impingent upon our discipline. No longer is it going to depend upon our action, upon our obedience. And I can say personally, thanks be to God. Because if my relationship to God depends upon my discipline, well, folks, I already told you how I failed in that area a number of different times. And this covenant of salvation, while being written on our hearts, is going to be exclusively an act of God. We're just recipients of this grace. We're recipients of the forgiveness provided to us by Christ on the cross. And our sins are going to be washed clean as a result of God's action. And not as a result of our action. Not as a result of how good we are. And so our relationship with God no longer depends on our discipline. That's the kind of relationship we have with Jesus. And if we weren't in a Presbyterian church, I would probably get a few amens, because I'm guessing some of you are in the same boat as I'm in as far as being undisciplined. If not, then I'm the only undisciplined person in the church, right? Now, when we turn to the New Testament reading, when we get to 1 Peter, he also talks about how this covenant that we have with God isn't established upon what we do. It's not based upon our discipline, but rather God loves us is not, how much God loves us is not dependent on how much we love God. Okay? And that sometimes is a misconception that people have, and so they carry this guilt around with them. They think that God is only able to love us to the degree that we're able to love God. That Peter speaks out strongly against that. That is not at all the case. It's a gift, so our discipline doesn't dictate the degree to which God sees us as his children. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, okay, then I'm good, right? If it's all God's work, then I don't have to be disciplined. I don't have to do anything. I can just kind of soak in all of God's grace and forgiveness and kind of coast. Now, what we've been trying to do together here at this church for the last few years, for the last number of years, what we've been trying to accomplish as a family is to try to understand how do we live out our faith fully and completely. How do we pursue those goals and dreams and hopes that God has for us? Because we know that God has a lot of hopes for us. Not how do we just kind of skate by with eternal life and then whatever happens on earth doesn't really matter. You've never heard that from me. It matters what happens on this earth. It matters what you do. It matters whether you're disciplined or not. Because life is meant to be lived in full communion with God, not just a one-way gift with no response from us. So today what we're going to do, before we get to our covenant renewal service, I'm going to give you three things that Peter lifts up in verse 13. If you have your Bible, feel free to open it up, or if you want to go ahead and show that on the screen, you'll be able to see in verse 13 three things where we can be equipped for a year of living disciplined, not as a path to eternal life, but as a way to have a full life and full communion with our God. So Peter gives us these three things that we can do if we're disciplined in order to live out fully that salvation that we've already received. And all these things come from just this one verse, verse 13. The very first verse. So let's look at the first thing. The first thing is the one that I lifted up to you where the literal Greek is, so gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind doesn't have loins, I know, right? So it's a metaphor, and normally in the Old Testament that's used for people going into battle. I'm a little embarrassed just kind of thinking about it, but I guess that's the literal translation. You want to make sure everything is in the right place when you go into battle, right? I guess that's what that means. So you gird up your loins when you go into battle. Another time that we see that used is in Exodus 19. When the people of Israel were getting ready to leave Egypt suddenly and quickly, so they weren't going to have time, and in that setting, you have the commandment to gird up your loins as you're eating the Passover meal. Get ready to go. So when we use it in this instance, I want you to think about yourself getting prepared to go on a journey, not to go into battle, but getting prepared to go on a journey, much like the Israelites who went from bondage to their culture and to their way of living into complete freedom in Jesus Christ. This journey this year that we're about to embark on should fundamentally change you and your relationship with God. So get ready and expect it. So the first point is to gird up your minds for action. Gird up your minds for action. The second point that we find is the simple statement, discipline yourselves. And that's what we've been talking about pretty much for this entire sermon. We know what is causing anxiety and stress in our lives. Think of what is it in your life that causes stress and anxiety. And you know that those areas, oftentimes, we may be unwilling to deal with them. Look at those areas in your life where you want to do better. Set goals to be disciplined with your husband or with your wife, with your job, with your children, whatever it may be. And remember, do as I say, right? Not necessarily. We've already figured that out, as I do. So first is gird up your minds for action. Second is discipline yourselves. The third one is, again, what we find in verse 13, which is to focus all of your hope on Jesus. Okay? Focus all of your hope on Jesus. Discipline isn't going to solve all of your problems. If you have a problem, for example, with alcohol, just trying harder doesn't resolve the situation, right? You need help sometimes. Sometimes you need to go beyond yourself. Oftentimes, most of the time, you have to go beyond yourself and look for folks who can help you with whatever that may be. Whatever amount of discipline you try to pour into it, it's just not going to be enough. That's why you need to focus all your hope on Jesus. Christ can hold you accountable. Someone close to you can hold you accountable. Here we see that if we set Jesus as our only hope and not our own skill, not our own ability, not even our own discipline, then that will be a game changer. So 1 Peter, as you finish out the verses that we read, it focuses upon us being holy. And there's another scripture in Matthew that says, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How many of you are perfect? Wait, thank you. Good, Sean. We need to take notes from you. Because the scripture said there's only one who was perfect, and it wasn't Sean. The scripture says there's only one who was perfect, and that was Jesus, right? No matter how hard we try, we're still not going to reach that level. So we can't be perfect. So why establish a goal that we know from the very outset we're never going to be able to achieve? I want you to hear those words of try and strive for that bar of perfection as encouragement, not as a condemnation. You don't want to set the bar so low that then you don't even reach that. I want you to hear it as encouragement, an encouragement to reach for that which is not attainable by yourself. Because today, as the list of obligations and demands on our time seem impossible to manage, God is often the first to be let go out of that equation. But not this year. Not this year, because this year will be the year of living disciplined. But won't you join me now in the covenant renewal service? Go ahead and, if you will, take out the covenant renewal service. This is a service that has its roots in the 1800s. John Wesley was a Church of England pastor, and he initiated this in the 1800s. Wesley is the one who started, and there are plenty of copies up here if people need others. He started the not by his design, but the Methodist Church came out of John Wesley. You'll see, I'll read the light part, you will read the dark part. If you turn to page 3, you'll see the covenant prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and then once we stand, at that moment, I encourage you to read and to worship and to say this prayer however you feel the Spirit of God might be leading you to say it. So if that means to kneel, if that means to raise your hand, if that means just to kind of bow, whatever you feel led to do at that time. I think there's one right there on the pulpit, right out there. Yep. However you feel led to pray this prayer, then please feel free to do that. You'll see then on page 5, at the very end on page 5, that there's a place for you to sign it and to date it. Do not do that here in the sanctuary. If you were moved by this and you felt God calling you to renew your covenant as we make our way through it, I encourage you to take this home. Read through it again. And if in that moment you feel the Holy Spirit is telling you, I need to make myself right before the Lord again. I need to renew my covenant. Then sign it and date it. Put it someplace in your house where you're going to see it every day. In your bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator, wherever it may be. Just to remind you of this covenant that you have made with the Lord to renew your covenant. And then as we come forward for communion after the covenant renewal service, there's a blue bead in our baptismal, there are many blue beads in our baptismal font. So take a blue bead again as a reminder of this renewal of your covenant with the Lord. So let's go ahead and let's renew our covenant before Almighty God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life and have been admitted into the new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with his own blood that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and perfecter of our faith. On the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. From time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, we meet as the generations before us have met, to renew the covenant that binds us to God. Let us make this covenant of God our own. Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. And in some way, we may please Christ and please ourselves, but then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us, therefore, go to Christ and pray together. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give myself to you, though, in all things. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He's the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. confirm this by a holy covenant. And to make this covenant a reality in your life, listen to these admonitions. First, set apart some time more than once to be spent alone before the Lord, in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, and searching your hearts whether you have already freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you're clear in these matters and see that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving and grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts. You have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourselves to God. With God's power, never go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Fall down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, open your hearts to the Lord as we pray. Will you please stand? Let us pray together the covenant prayer as we find it. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will. For you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that you shall put away all your idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again, if you would let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and my God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means to coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. God has given holy laws as a rule of your life. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction, and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. The Almighty God searches and knows your heart. Oh God, you know that I make this covenant with you today, without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. Almighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend. And I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it. And let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you now and we fully accept the chastisement that we have read within this renewal. We fully accept the new life that you provide. We fully accept the role that we play, which is nothing compared to the role that you have played upon the cross. We fully accept that we have not loved our neighbor as we ought to. We fully accept that we have not committed ourselves to you as we ought to. We fully accept that we have not loved you as we ought to. And Jesus, now we fully accept you as the one who sees that, knows it, and still looks at us, embraces us, and says, I love you. I love you. And for that we give you thanks, Lord, because you are a God of abundant grace, unfailing love, and without that we would be lost. We pray this now in your holy name. Amen.